I had to get up early this morning. I was going to try to get here last night, but we had a big weekend at our church this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and so we were dog tired, but we got up early this morning and came, and I'm glad I got here early for the good preaching this morning. Then this afternoon, I guess I'd fail to realize I was going to be preaching in the afternoon. I'd planned riding up here this morning. I was so tired. I said when I got in, I was going to listen to the preaching this morning and go sleep all afternoon, and I didn't get to do that. Amen. But I'm glad for the good preaching I was able to hear this morning and this afternoon. Amen. Being these services, I don't want to take it for granted. I'll tell you, preachers need preaching, don't they? I would give you a dime for a preacher that don't take preaching. Amen. Some of them so busy, all they can do is get there and preach and leave. I guess that's a pet peeve of mine. Amen. I guess I have found out sometimes that is legitimate. Amen. We've got some things to do and we can only get there sometime, but I don't make a habit of it. Amen. I don't have a lot of confidence in a preacher that's got time to go there and preach and then leave. Amen. I don't know why I even said that. I'm about to kill the meeting. Amen. I want to do something to get it down. Amen. I don't know how I get in these predicaments. I'm telling you the truth. I've had heart trouble and all kinds of things. I don't know how in the world I get in these predicaments. Y'all's hanging from the rafters and I'm supposed to get up here and preach. It's almost nauseating. Amen. I walked in the service this morning. One of the first things I heard when I walked in the service this morning said, well, the singing was a little off last night. I wish I'd have been preaching last night. My soul. Amen. So I come in tonight to preach and y'all hanging from the chandeliers. Now, I'm supposed to get up and preach. I don't understand all that stuff. Amen. But I was enjoying it. I got saved in an environment you couldn't know. They were shouting it out and they didn't know it. They was running, they was acting crazy in y'all and they wasn't even sure. They might have it today and lose it tomorrow. I think we're a little bit backslid, amen. They was running all over the building, praising God, shouting, amen. They didn't even know they was going to have it tomorrow. Amen. How much more should we shout? I stayed that way for about a year, amen. I didn't know if I had it tomorrow. I didn't know in and out and up and down, confused, amen. Because I got saved in that kind of environment. But then I met y'all. Dear God, well, thank God I know I'm saved. I don't know if I'm called to preach, but I know I'm saved. Amen. Thank you, Bible. Before you turn to this text, I got to say this. I might have said this here last year. I don't know. Probably did. I've said it a few places, but this really happened. I've heard of this happening, but this really happened to me. And some of y'all going to know when I start telling it, because you've heard me telling it. But this really did happen to me. I was in a meeting one time to preach and been preaching all day. And then I think that night, I can't remember when I was preaching, but I was preaching sometime. I think over there. It was over in Mackbee, South Carolina. And I went to get up to preach that night. I was supposed to preach that night, and the pastor got up and he said, well, Brother Willis is coming to preach now, and I act like you've never heard this, but this really did happen. And he said, you know, we love Brother Willis and we thank God he's here tonight, preach tonight, but said, I've always respected his wife. Said, normally when Brother Willis comes, normally his wife is with him, and I've really always respected her. Said, I've even watched her while he's preaching. Said she'd be over there, she's engrossed in his preaching, and said, sometimes I've seen just tears flow down her eyes while he's preaching. And I'm thinking, I ain't never seen that. Amen. But he's a bragging on my wife, and I'm getting engrossed. I thank God she liked my preaching. Amen. And I'm sitting over there, I'm really taking it in. And he said, I've just respected her and appreciated her back in his ministry. And said, matter of fact, said, the last time I heard him preach, I went over to his wife and said, Sister Willis, I just appreciate you so much backing your husband and encouraging him and even weeping while he's crying. Said, Sister Willis looked at me and said, if you'd heard them messages as many times I had, you'd be weeping too. Amen. When I announce my text tonight, you'll probably see Brother Barry crying and Brother Caldwell crying. Amen. They heard these messages so many times. They'll be crying tonight. They'll have to endure to the end. Amen. I want you to turn with me. I really feel like the Lord when Brother Robert called me and told me, I immediately thought, I didn't have no other thought other than preaching this. Amen. And so 1 Samuel, if you'll turn there tonight to 1 Samuel, that's a very familiar chapter in the Bible. And 1 Samuel, if you'll find that, and we'll stand one more time with the Lord to help us. Amen. Read our text. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I saw a sign right down the road in the church lot. It said, be a fountain, don't be a drain. I feel like after all y'all heard today, all I can do is be a drain. But I'll do my best to try to preach. Thank y'all for the room and the gifts and the food. Amen. I hadn't eaten any of your food yet, but I'm looking forward to eating it. Amen. And then thank you for the great preaching today. We have heard some preaching, hadn't we? I don't know. I'm not trying to act humble. I do not know why I'm standing here right now. But I wish we had some of those great messages that were preached this afternoon and this morning being preached. But I just do my best. God's put me here. I think I heard today He knows all things. Amen. And so He put me here for this time. I don't fully understand that, but I'll do my best. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I do say the Lord is good. And I'm glad He saved me by His grace. Amen. 1 Samuel 17. Many years ago, I preached a text out of this particular chapter on how to get ahead. And that's probably about the best thing I ever preached on when David cut Goliath's head off. I preached on how to get ahead. And that's about the best thing I've ever got out of this chapter. Amen. But the Lord directed me, and I'll tell you why in just a minute, back to this chapter sometime just recently, a while back, a month or two ago, to preach out of this chapter again. Begin reading in verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And when the men of Israel said, how have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely defy Israel as he come up. It shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the notice of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. I want to take that familiar text right there in verse 29 that all you preachers preached on and we've heard preached on, but I really believe this is what God put on my heart to preach tonight. Is there not a cause? Now I want to try to preach on that simple thought tonight. Is there not a cause? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be in heavenly places tonight. Thank you for the good touch of God that we felt in this place today. God, the anointed singing tonight, the touch of God upon the service tonight, we praise you for it. Lord, I stand there, God, tonight very, trembling and in fear that, God, I cannot do what, Lord, I feel like I would want to do unless you empower me. And Lord, I've preached long enough to know I can't. I'm not here to put on a performance. I'm not here to be an entertainer. But God, this has been birthed in my heart. Please help me to get it across tonight. Challenge us, God. There's a cause for what we're doing. And I pray when we leave, we'd be more involved in what we're supposed to do to the glory of God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The reason I got this message, and I know I went to a little bit of school, amen. I know you don't do it this way, but somebody, and I was going to bring that book with me, but I took a few pages out of it, a few pages out of the book I've been reading. Somebody a while back gave me a book on a devotion a day in Baptist history. And the book is simply a devotion every day on a Baptist in history. And I've got that book, amen, that I read daily about a Baptist in history every day. And I begin to read read that book every day this year, and it's challenged my heart. Now I find there's two more editions, amen. There's three of those books now, but I've been reading those books. Matter of fact, somebody gave me the second edition just this past week on a Baptist in history every day. And as I begin to read that book, I begin to read, and I know you don't do it like this. You're supposed to get a message and then get some illustrations. But the truth of the matter is, I was reading that book, and it challenged me to find a text to go along with that. As I begin to read about our forefathers, our Baptist forefathers, and the price that they paid for us to have liberty like we had, it challenged my heart. And God directed me to this chapter. I know you're not supposed to do it like that, but I did, and I thank the Lord helped me with it. Amen. Is there not a cause? I want to simply say to us tonight that we've lost that in our generation that we're living in. We've lost the fact that there's a cause for standing for God and living for God. We've really lost out on that. Amen. I say this meeting's about challenging us to get involved in a cause. Amen. Y'all, I need some amens. Now y'all amen to singing. I need some amen and amen. Of course, the singing was a whole lot better than the preaching. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we're involved in a great cause. Amen. And that book challenged me. I tell you, it wouldn't be good for us preachers. I'm trying to keep my church after I read this book. Because when you read how our forefathers were burnt at the stake, and somebody calls you up and tells you they got a sore toe, it don't go real well on Sunday. Hello, somebody help me now. I mean, the flimsiest thing will keep somebody out of the house of God today. When you read that our Baptist forefathers gave their life, gave their family, gave their all, and somebody calls you up and tells you, well, my arm's hurting. Well, I think it might rain and I can't get there. Somebody help me, amen. That don't set well with the preacher, amen. I'm simply saying there is a cause. I looked up the word cause. It means a reason, a motive, a purpose that urges us, that compels us, that moves us, that drives us, that creates an urgency in us, that causes a purpose to take place in our heart. I'll tell you what, when you got a cause, friend, you can't stop. You know why so many people are quitting today? They're not involved in a cause. Amen. Hey, we have a cause to stand for. Amen. When David got to that battle that day, he said, is there not a cause? I looked that up to kind of get what that meant. David said, I'm not here by accident. David said, y'all think I just dropped in, amen, and I really just thought I came down here just doing simply what I was supposed to do. But I found out I'm here for a reason. Yeah. I want to tell you, everybody in this building that's saved, God saved you for a purpose, amen. Yeah, amen. And the truth of the matter is, God's always doing more than you can see. I found that out over there, and he told Noah to build a ark to save his house. And it saved the world. Yeah, man. He built an ark to the saving of his house, and it saved the whole world. Yeah, man. Y'all better get that now. That's probably the best thing I'm going to give you tonight. Amen. Hey, he told Paul to go into Macedonia. But he ended up, the gospel ended up going to Europe. And ended up going from Europe to America. God is always. I'll tell you, that day David went down there just to take that little bit of food to his brethren. Hey, he did that to satisfy his father, but it ended up saving the nation. Had the Philistines took over the nation of Israel, I'm thinking now, we wouldn't have a Savior. Yeah, man. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, hey, there's a cause. You don't have to be old to get involved in it. David was a teenager. David got involved as a teenager in a cause, amen. Matter of fact, I read and studied this message. Audie Murphy got the Medal of Honor when he was 19 years old. He was a soldier, amen. I'll tell you, we're soldiers of the cross, amen. The greatest cause in all the world is the cause of Christ, amen. And Christianity. May I say, the liberals have their agenda. The liberals are always, they're always vocal. The liberals are always spouting off what they believe. Whether you like it or don't like it, they go tell you what they believe. Some seems like Christianity has been backed up, put in the corner, amen. I think we ought to come out fighting, amen. David came out fighting for the cause of Christ. We've lost that, church. I'm telling you now, we've lost that. Our soldiers are tonight in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're fighting for the cause of freedom. I preached this message somewhere in North Carolina. A lady come after me, and I'd made that statement. She said, "Brother Alvin," she said, "my husband right now tonight, he's in Afghanistan fighting for us to be here worshiping God." Oh, you listen to me? I'm saying we're soldiers of the cross. Hey, I'm telling you, we've lost that militant attitude about serving God. The liberals, they have their agenda. They're vocal about what they believe. Amen. I simply say to us tonight, hey, right here in this particular text, the Philistines was on Israel territory. I'll tell you what, the devil's so bold, he'll walk into church. Is somebody, anybody listening? I hope it's going to get better. Amen. I'll tell you what the liberals will do. They'll walk right in your church and try to take over. I'm determined by the grace of God. The worldly crowd ain't walking into Life Baptist Church and taking over. Amen. I'm prepared to fight for that. Amen. We have backed up. We've let down. We've loosened up because we got to accommodate the people. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I'm not talking about being unkind. But I am telling you, I'm determined that the world is not going to take over Life Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you what, you just well make up your mind. If you're going to do that, you're in for a fight. Amen. You can go with the flow and not have any problems, so to speak. But I'm telling you, if you take a stand for the cause of Christ and right, you go fight. Amen and amen. Hey, I found this out. Hey, my brother says, he said, "Alfred," and he didn't say it wrong. My brother's not saved. He told me, he said, "Alfred, you preachers," he said, "look like all y'all ever do is dress up and ride around and eat out." Now, he's not a Christian. And my brother, he respects what I do. He said, "every time I see you, you dressed up and riding around, and a lot of times I see you at a restaurant." He said, "is that all you ever do, dress up and ride around and eat out?" Sometimes I'm convinced he's right. Is anybody listening? It's easy. Somebody said this. It's better to die for something than live for nothing. Hey, my life is invested in the things of God. My brother told me this. He said, "Alfred, you're spending your life running up and down the road, and you know you've been sick. You're spending your life running up and down the road." I said, "Eddie, I ain't spending my life. I'm investing it." Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm investing in a worthy cause. Amen. Hey, I read this book, Radical Christianity. I've been reading a book on radical Christianity. He's not even of our persuasion. There's a church down in Alabama. And I've been reading this book on radical Christianity. And I'm telling you what, he's preaching to his people to be sold out for the cause of Christ. And I'm telling you, doctors are surrendering. And educated people are selling out for the glory of God. He's not even of our persuasion. Radical Christianity. I think we ought to get back to radical Christianity. I think it was the old time preacher Vance Havner said. He said what? He said, we're so normal. Amen. He said, "we're so subnormal. If we ever become normal, we'd be abnormal." Is anybody listening? Dear God, I hope it gets better. Amen. I'm just simply saying to us tonight, hey, we're involved in a worthy cause. The cause of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's why we invest. I invest in it because there's a cause. I'm involved in it because there's a cause. I'm interested in it because there's a cause. David said, "is there not a cause?" Amen. I'm inspired by it. It's a cause. Amen. What are you saying? Well, that day David went down there to take that food to his brethren. He probably didn't think it was all that big a deal. His father said, "son, how about go down there and see how your brethren fare? Take this little bit of cheese down there to him." He probably didn't think that was a big deal. I'll tell you this. When you get up on Sunday morning, put your dress clothes on and come to church, it might not seem like all that big a deal, but it's a big deal. Yeah. Amen. When you put your clothes on Sunday afternoon and come back on Sunday night, it's a big deal. Yeah. When you dress up to come on Wednesday night or get off late from work and make it to the house of God, it's a big deal. Amen. Why? There's a cause to stand for. Amen. Yeah, man. Amen. So David was involved in a cause. Amen. I'm glad I'm involved in a cause tonight. I'm investing my life in a worthy cause. You've heard that said. Hey, that's a good cause. That's a worthy cause. Well, I'm telling you, we're involved in a worthy cause. Amen. Amen. The cause of Christ is for Christ's sake. Amen. Hey, it's for the gospel's sake. Amen. I was reading in this book about Pastor Humbar. Pastor Humbar was this is back in the 1700s. He embraced the Reformation. And he was following the Reformation. And he found out the Reformation, all the leaders of the Reformation was looking to him because he was such a scholar. And as he began to embrace the Reformation, he found out that they didn't come far enough out. And so he began to challenge some of the teachers of the Reformation, such as infant baptism. And as he began to preach and teach on that was wrong, hey, the leaders of the Reformation and the Catholic Church, they come to him and they said, you're going to have to recant of those teachings. That's in this book. He said, I can't recant, I see it in the Bible. And so he began to preach on there has to be a profession before you can be baptized. And you be baptized by immersion. Now that's a simple thing today, but that's a big deal then. And buddy, they bitterly opposed him and they came to him. The leaders of the Reformation said, if you don't recant, we're going to put you in prison. He said, I can't recant what the Bible teaches. And some of those people that was in the Reformation believed what he was preaching. And he pulled 300 out and started an Anabaptist church. Amen. Hello, Tokyo. Amen. Buddy, they got upset. Now the Catholic Church and the Reformation's after him. And they said, Pastor, if you don't recant, we're gonna burn you at the stake. And they put him in prison and tried to starve him to death. And they would go down there and entice him by starving him to death and say, if you'll recant, we'll give you something to eat. He said, I can't recant. He said, I saw it in the Bible and I can't turn my back. Well, they starved him and he got weaker and weaker and weaker. And they even put his wife in prison. And he comes in and said, you're going to die and we're going to burn you at the stake if you don't recant. And he said, after he got so weak in body, he said he had some second thoughts. And he began to tell him, he said, well, I'll go and I'll deny a few things that I've been teaching. And so they got him, they had the auditorium packed and jammed. And they took Pastor Humbine, they took him out of prison in shackles. And they marched him up to that huge auditorium. Oh God, I tell you this will stir you up, amen. And they marched him into that big auditorium and some of the leaders of the Reformation said, Pastor Humbine is coming to speak today and tell you he sees the fallacies of some things he's been teaching. And he said he was standing there so weak in body. And he said they took him up to the platform, to the podium. And he said when he got to the podium, something come on him. I think it's what David got. He got anointed in chapter 60. He said something come over him. And he looked at that vast congregation. And he said with as loud as he could muster up in his weakness, he said, infant baptism is of the devil. Boy, he said that crowd charged him. They dragged him out the pulpit. They took him back to the dungeon. And they said, you're going to die by burning at the stake. And his wife was saying, honey, don't you recant. His wife said, don't you back up. My wife probably saying, hey, you better back up, huh? We ain't got much Social Security. Somebody help me. I'm telling you, them people back that day, they had grit. They had a cause, amen. We've lost that, Pastor. We've lost that. I got a sore toe. They said, we give you one last chance, Pastor, to recant of what you believe. He said, I can't. They said, well, tomorrow you'll burn at the stake. And they led him out of that. And his wife was in prison. And they led him out of that prison cell to take him to burn him at the stake. And his wife said, don't back up, honey. Don't back up, honey. Stand for right, honey. And they led him out. And they took him before that vast crowd that was gathered to watch him burn at the stake. And they put gunpowder and sulfur in his beard. And they said, Pastor Humbar, one more time, recant. He said, I can't. And they lit his beard. And he stood there with his beard burning, suffocating from that sulfur and that gunpowder. And he lifted his hand and said, God give me the victory. And 3 days later, they took his wife out of prison and drowned her in the river. What are you trying to say? I'm saying that happened because he had a cause burning in his heart. Amen. We've lost a cause. Amen. It's for the gospel's sake. Amen. It's for righteousness' sake. Church, I'm telling you, church, please don't get upset with me. We're losing the cause of righteousness. I'll tell you why Noah's ark wasn't full. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. Everybody would have been getting on the ark. But Noah preached righteousness. And if you preach it, I doubt if you get too big a crowd. Hello, and I'm telling you, I'm for big crowds. I want big crowds. I want my church full. But not at the expense of sacrificing righteousness, Brother Don. I don't want to lose that as a cop out. I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to preach. I don't want to use that as a cop out. My church don't grow. But I'm telling you, I am not sacrificing righteousness for the cause of a big crowd. God ain't trying to get a bunch together. God's trying to build a body. God ain't looking for a crowd. He's looking for a church. Amen. God ain't in the club business. God's in the church business. Amen. Hallelujah. It's for the cause of righteousness. We've lost that. I'm telling you that, church. I'm telling you, don't get mad. I don't want to get hung up on that point. But I'm telling you what I'm seeing and I'm moving. We're sacrificing righteousness. Amen. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I want to emphasize that. Because anytime you preach that, they say you mean. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not being. I'm talking about Bible preaching. Somebody said, I want mean preaching. I don't. I can't stand mean preaching. I want Bible. That Bible's tough enough, friends. You ain't got to preach me. Just preach the Bible. Hello, Tokyo. Somebody help me. I'm simply saying, it was for the cause of righteousness. It was for the cause of the Word of God. He said, I cannot back up on what the Bible has showed me. I wish God hadn't shown me so much. I'm telling you, there's a crowd out there. They don't know what we know. Amen. Hey, that Bible showed me, and not like I know much. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Bible showed me a lot of things I preach I wish I didn't have to preach. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I've got it down like this now. I have to put it in my notes. What, preacher? I put it in my notes. If it says hit that right there, I put it in the notes. Why? Because when they walk in, and that some rich person walk in, or some highfalutin person walk in, or somebody of some prominence in life, if I ain't got it there, I have a tendency to skip over it. Y'all laughing. Y'all do too. I'm just being honest. Amen. I'm just simply saying, it's for the Word of God. Hey, I'm involved in a cause, and the Word of God is the cause. Amen. Hey, I was preaching. I know this sounds big for me, and I can't. I got to pinch myself, like Brother Buster said. I got to pinch myself. I was preaching outside of Pittsburgh in an old church. And the pastor had me come up there and preach. I was preaching a revival. And the pastor told me, he said, Brother Alfred, tomorrow I'm going to pick you up and go and show you where Billy Sunday preached in the tabernacles. And so he right outside of Pittsburgh. And he took me over there. Of course, the tabernacle is gone now. And he said, right down that parcel of ground right there is where Billy Sunday would hold his meetings in the old tabernacles. And he said, you know the story. Thousands would come and hear him preach. I said, man, this is... I got out, went over there and walked on the ground. He said, but Alfred, Brother Alfred, let me tell you something better. He said, the church that you're preaching in that we bought since we've been up here. He said, that old Methodist church you're preaching in, Billy Sunday preached just about where you're standing to preach this revival. He preached in that pulpit. It was an old Methodist church that had closed down and a missionary went up there and bought the church. Hallelujah. With the pews and the pulpit and everything as it was in Billy Sunday's day. And he said, just about where you're standing is where Billy Sunday stood and preached. He said what that was about. He'd get 400, 500, 600 men in the morning service. And he'd preach in the morning service and fire them up for the night services. And he said, where you're standing to preach is just about where he stood. We rode around a little bit and we stopped to get something to drink. And I noticed there was no alcohol there. And I said, I'm outside of Pittsburgh. I'm up north. And they don't sell alcohol in this township or whatever they called it, not county. I think it was a township. I said, they don't sell alcohol here? He said, no, they don't sell alcohol here. I said, give me the reason. He said, about 100 years ago, a man named Billy Sunday comes through here. 100 years ago, a man took that King James Bible and preached the Word of God, and 100 years later, they still don't sell liquor. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Everything we got down south looks like a jug joint. Hello, somebody help me. Even. You walk in the grocery store and get drunk before you get out. Is anybody listening? But there was an old-time preacher that hated liquor, and he preached against it. Oh, God, I wish we could get back. There was a cause. There was a cause. Amen. I'll tell you, we're involved in a cause. I told a man in our town. He put beer in the store. I said, I'll tell you something, sir. He's a member of the First Baptist Church. He's a Sunday school teacher in the First Baptist Church. And I went to him and I told him, I said, Mr. Brown says he's saved. I said, Mr. Brown, I'll tell you something. I said, when I come to this town, you just took over the store and I just started the church. And I was so thankful when I came to this town, you was taking the beer out of the store. And now here we are 20 years later and you're putting beer back in the store. I said, I want to tell you something. You say you're saved. He said, I'm saved, preacher. I said, you put liquor in your store and God's going to bring the curse of God on you. I told him that at the post office. I did. I ain't trying to sound bad. I said, you sell liquor. God says there's a curse on those that sell liquor. And beer is liquor. And I said, as a result of that, God's going to chasten your family. He said, well, I got dissatisfied and I got disgruntled at the church and I just don't care no more. I said, when God gets through with you, you're going to care. May I tell you, his wife went crazy and both of his daughters turned out to be harlots. Hello? Are you listening? I'm telling you, there was a cause. Yeah, man. Hey, all of it's a cause. It's for the glory of God. Yeah, man. The result of our investment, the result of our environment, the result of us being interested that people will get saved. If we stand for a cause, somebody is going to get saved. I had a lady come into my church. She's a wealthy lady. Believe it or not, in St. Stephen. She's a wealthy lady. She married a man in our church. And she was not of the persuasion of the man she married. And God, that's another issue. But she comes with him to church. And she was up in age, amen. And she's been coming for years and years and years. Well, I don't preach what she believes. Amen. And so she sits on the second pew right behind my wife. And my wife said sometime when you hit that point about salvation being eternal and you can't lose it, you can hear about it and say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I mean, she's vocal about it. Hello. But I just keep preaching it. I said maybe one day she will believe it. Matter of fact, here's my thoughts about it. And not because I think everybody believes that way as well, but I just had some problems thinking she was even saved from the comment she made. And so I just kept on preaching for years and years and years. Well, not just a few months ago, I got a call. And her husband said, preacher, would you come to the hospital? I said, for what? He said, my wife thinks she's going to die. Would you come? And so I went over there to the hospital, me and my wife, amen. We walked in. When I walked in, she stuck her hand out. She said, preacher, I think I'm going to die and I'm not ready to meet God. She said, I need you to tell me how to get saved. And so I stood at the bedside there and I said, sister, I'll tell you, first of all, you got to know you're a sinner. The Bible says you're a sinner. She said, preacher, now I know I do some bad things, but I can't see myself as being all that bad. I said, well, you can't get saved. And I talked to her a little bit more, Dr. McAbee, and I said, you got to recognize before you can get saved, you're a sinner, and you're lost, and you're going to hell. This is in the hospital, right across the intensive care, from the desk of the tent. That woman sitting behind the desk over there, she thought we was having church over there, friend. I mean, I got loud. I'm talking to a woman about to die, and I wanted her to know, you got to get saved. Amen. And so I kept talking to her. She said, preacher, I just can't see myself as being that bad. I said, well, you can't get saved. And so I kept talking to her a little bit, and finally her lips started quivering. And she said, oh, preacher, I'm lost. I'm telling my wife today. She said, I'm lost. I see it now. I'm lost. I'm lost. I said, now you can get saved. And we dealt with her there in the hospital, and she called on the Lord and got saved, laying on the bed. And after I got through, here's what she did. She said, I'm saved. I mean, in the hospital like this. She said, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I said, shh. No, I didn't do that.
And boy, we talk about some more things. Pastor, I talk about a few more things. And right in the middle of talking about it, she said, I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved! I mean, she did that about 3 or 4 times before we left. I went and left a couple of days. I come back a few days later. Amen. I stepped in the room. They moved out of intensive care, put her in a room. And I stepped in the door. She said, I'm saved! I'm saved! She's 83 years old. She got saved at 83 years old. She's out of the hospital. She's home. She's trying to get back to church. I hope it dawns on her. She's got to catch up on her ties. Praise God. I mean, she's a millionaire. She's a millionaire. I hope God shows her the first thing she got to do is tithe. You said, preacher, you asked her money? No, I'm after her tithes. Amen. What happens when you stand for a cause? You see, I could have lightened up and quit preaching that. Hey, I had a wealthy lady in my church, didn't like what I was preaching, but I kept hammering and kept hammering. I wasn't hoping she'd leave. I was hoping she'd get in. She did! Amen. Amen. I went to see her the other day in her house. She's sitting in her recliner. All of a sudden, even while I was sitting there, she said, I'm saved! I'm saved! Man, I'm telling you, 83 years old and just got saved. She missed hell by just a bare skin. I just say, if you stand for a cause, God will vindicate you. Amen. Amen. If you stand for a cause, God will save people. You stand for a cause, people will get help. Amen. I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up one more time. I got a brother that's lost. My brother's 70 years old. I've been praying for my brother ever since I've been saved. He made a profession 6 months after I got saved. Brother Jeff, you know my brother Eddie? And my brother's wealthy. I'm going to say that braggadocio. My brother's wealthy. He's got real estate and stores and land and he's got money. He got money and I got the master. I wouldn't trade what I got for what he's got. Hallelujah. And I got my brother's lost. My brother's lost. And I cannot penetrate his lostness. But just the other day, he got word that he had an aneurysm in his stomach. That's what my mama died with. They put my mama on the operating table. And they said, when we go to open her up, it could rupture. And she could die on the operating table. Well, lo and behold, they did open her up and she died on the operating table. My brother got an aneurysm just about the same place. And they said it was growing, growing, growing. And they said, Mr. Willis, pretty soon if it gets to six point something, they said, we got to do surgery. Well, it reached that just about 3 weeks ago. It reached that. And they said, you've got to have surgery. And the fear of God got on my brother. And I went over there to see him and tried to talk to him. And he wouldn't let me talk to him. And so I left defeated. I left defeated. I hope y'all got time for all this. I left defeated. And by a few days later, I went back to see him right before he went into surgery. And I went and talked to him a little bit. And I got up and I was checking him out. I got up to leave and he looked at me with kind of tears in his eye. And he said, he never said this, Brother Ragley. He said, Alfred, before you leave, would you pray for me? I said, Eddie, I come to pray for you. He said, Alfred, I know you did. You come a couple of weeks ago to pray for me. And he said, I wouldn't let you talk to me. He said, I knew what I did. I wouldn't let you talk to me. He said, but I want you to talk to me now. I said, Eddie, I want to ask you something. You're fixing to go in the same surgery mama died with. I said, if you die on the operating table, where are you going? He said, Alfred, I don't know. He said, I know that ain't good. I said, no, it ain't good. He said, I know I've lived a wicked life. My brother lived wicked. He said, I know I've lived a wicked life. He said, but God's been good to me. I said, you might have right. God's been good to you. Let you live. And I got to pray for my brother. And I got to follow him to the hospital. And now, he ain't saved yet. But Brother Barry, he's calling me often. He's saying, Alfred, just checking on you. Want you to know I'm concerned about you. And he said, keep praying for me. Keep praying. I'm praying that my brother will get saved. I've stood for God now 38 years. Amen. They thought I was crazy. They thought I flipped my lid. They thought religion drove me crazy. But now, they're asking me to come. Well, glory. Just stand for the cause, amen. I tell you, you stand long enough, God will vindicate it. I'm telling you, I got family fell out with me, said I'd lost my going crazy over religion. Now they're coming to hear me preach. Woo, glory! Hey, if you'll stand for a cause, God will help people. God will save people, amen. God will encourage people. Let me give him a message. Message is short. Not because I ought to be, because I ain't got the strength to preach it, amen. First of all, get this real quick. A cause begins with a command. Bible said in verse number 20. The Bible said that David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. I won't tell you how a cause begins. It begins with a command. May I say this, and I'm not going to say it long on this point. May I say this? He's obeying the little things before he got to the big things. We got a generation of preachers who want to start off big. Hey, I'll tell you where most of us started, in a storefront building. Is anybody listening? And we got a bunch of preachers today saying they already hear it already. It's an operation already going, big buildings. Hell, are you listening? He was obeying the little things before God ever got him to the big thing. Amen. That's about all I got to say with that. Hey, Saul wasn't no shepherd. Saul was searching. First time I read about Saul, he's looking for donkeys. Saul's chasing donkeys. David's got a shepherd's heart. God ain't going to use a donkey chaser to lead the nation. Somebody help me, man. God called David. David is the anointed king. Saul is the antichrist. He's the false king. Amen. But David is the anointed king. Amen. Hey, he started off little. Amen. Then it got to big things. That's how God does it. Amen. That's point one. Point two. A cause begins with a command. Number two. A cause will consume you. Look in verse number 32. Amen. I'm hurrying now. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. I want to tell you, old David, he's consumed. I mean, we got a man standing out there, I'm rounding this off now. We got a man standing out there 10 foot tall with 150 pounds of armor. And David said, let me at him. The only way you do that is you consumed, or you ain't got good sense. But I'll tell you what a cause will do. It'll consume you. Yeah, man. I ain't got time for preaching. People say they're called to preach and don't preach. Amen. How can you be called to preach and don't preach? You got to pray. I got to preach. Amen. I was preaching to two before I was preaching to you. Yeah. And that's not a rhyme. That's not a rhyme. That's truth. He's consumed. Somebody said, David, I'm telling you, don't mess with that big fella. He's too big for you to hit him. He said, no, he's too big to miss. Amen. Why? He's consumed. You know what? When you get consumed, I want to tell you why he's consumed. He's full of the Holy Ghost. That we lacking that today. He got full of the Holy Ghost in chapter 16. It don't matter how big, how bad, he's consumed. He don't even see the bigness. He don't even see the badness. Why? He's anointed. That's what we need today. We need some anointed. I'm trying to get it myself. Amen. We need some anointed preachers. Some anointed church people. Amen. I remember, it's sad to say this, but anyway, it's an illustration. It's a true story. Back when I was lost, I'm ashamed to say this, but I was on the wrong spirit. I was drinking the intoxicating spirit. And I was down at the Eddie Shore Beach one night. And after the dance was over, I was lost now. After the dance was over, I stepped out on the front porch. And I had a front porch sit down at Eddie Shore Beach of the dance hall. And I stepped out on the front porch. And the whole parking lot full of people. And I looked at that. I was on the wrong spirit now. And I looked at that crowd. And I said, I want to know who's the biggest, baddest, meanest fella in this crowd. Now I'm 5'6". 155 pounds at that time. I said, who's the biggest, baddest, meanest fella in this crowd? And one big old fella said, I am. I said, well, take over. I'm leaving. You know why I did that? I was on the wrong spirit. But I'm telling you, if we get anointed with the right spirit, we'll tackle anything. Why? We're consumed. Yeah, man. Amen. Hey, I was in the same church. I was playing basketball against a fellow named Jerry Vaughn. He played for the Citadel. He's 6'10". Literally 6'10". And he ain't supposed to do that. He's the center. He's bringing the ball down the court. Now I was lost. He's bringing the ball down the court. I was running there and grabbed the ball. It wasn't hard. He's bouncing as high as my head. This is a true story. I just ran up there and grabbed the ball. When I grabbed him, passed, he grabbed me. It made him mad. He lifted me up there where he was. And two of my buddies on the team, they grabbed him. And when they grabbed him, I jumped up with everything I got. And I hit him right in the back of the head. You said you'd hit a fellow 6'10" when I got two brothers holding him. But I got a big brother named Jesus. And every now and then, I get to hit the devil. Amen. Praise God. I'm simply saying, hey, a cause will consume you. Amen. A cause will give you courage. Are you listening? Look at verse 24 again. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. Bible said in verse 24, if I can find it. Amen. Verse 24. Bible said in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man fled from him, they were so afraid. That crowd's scared. But David ain't scared. What? He's consumed in a cause. He's been anointed of God. And so he's got courage. Amen. I'm sitting saying to us, hey, I read this in a book somewhere. I thought it was wonderful. I wish I'd have thought of this. Look at verse 45. Then David said, the Philistine comes down to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. David said, I'm coming in his name. Look at the latter part of verse 46. He said that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. He says, I'm coming for his fame. He said in verse 47, latter part, he said, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you in our hands. He said, I'm making a claim. I like that. I wish I'd have thought of that. Somebody, I read that in the book, said, I'm coming in his name, I'm coming for his fame, and I'm making a claim. Y'all don't enjoy that like I did. What are you trying to say? Old David said, hey, I'm telling you what, big boy, quit cussing, my God. Now, I don't just try to put it down where we live in. Here's what David said. Big boy, you better quit cussing God. I'm going to take your head off. Now, can you see that teenage boy out there telling that 10-foot giant with a 150-pound arm, knock off the cussing? Now, I don't know how any other, I don't know any other way to preach it. He said, if you don't quit cussing today, when I walk off this hill, everybody's going to know there's a God in Israel. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what you believe right now. It don't matter.
That's right.
I believe he got that sling, and I know practice makes perfect, and I believe David did practice, but I believe God got a hold of that stone.
Yeah.
I believe we ought to sharpen up, do all we can, but our best, we're nothing. I think he could have slung it over there, and the giant could have been over there. And God got a hold of that stone, bow, got him over there. Why you believe that? I preach the sinners on that side, and get saved on that side. Don't tell me you ain't never done. You seen them walk in. You checked them out when they walked in and said, that's one right there. I'll get him tonight. And you preach to get him and some church member get saved over there. You know you've done that. Y'all help me now. I'm telling you, God got a hold of that stone. He said, boy, who do you think you are, you punk? I mean, that's how I'm putting it up today. Who do you think you are, you punk? He said, I might be a punk, but I got a rock. When this day is over, I'll be a punk rocker. Glory to God. Amen. Is anybody listening? Let's don't get our mind off. He's involved in a cause. He's consumed. He's got courage. Amen. And he sang that song. Shoo, 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 shoo. And the Bible said he slang it. I don't believe in slang. But that's one time slang worked. Then the Bible said he didn't sling it, he slang it. I tell our young people, don't use slang. Hey. But one time he slang and and he took that rock and he slung it. Shoo! And it hit that old giant and he fell on his face. And y'all know that message I preached. He ran up there and grabbed his sword, cut his head off, went running back to town. I got a head! I got a head! And they come to David and said, David, you killed Goliath, and we got to bury him. But we ain't got nobody to sing. Said, you're a singer. Would you sing at his funeral? He said, I'd be glad to sing at his funeral. Goliath is dead, and I got a head. He ain't got nobody. Hallelujah. Yeah. Is anybody listening? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, when they walked off the hill that day, they said David's God is the God. Amen. Are you listening, church? I'm simply saying to us, listen to me. Listen to me. It gives you courage when you're consumed, when you got a cause. I was working in Charleston Naval Shipyard, and they sent me to New Jersey to teach me how to work on chlorinators that purify the water. Because I worked at Charleston Naval Shipyard, and they come back and they send me out of this place to work on the chlorinator down at the Naval Recreation Place. And every time I went out there, they had a man out there. This is no exaggeration. He had tattoos on his knuckles, across his hands, up and down his arm. He had tattoos all on his shoulders, and he wore cut off shirts. And he weighed about 250 pounds, and he had a beard that come to a point. And he walked, honestly, this is the truth, he walked like this. And he was the God cussing this man I ever met in my life. And I met him out there to fix that chlorinator one day, and he come out there. He cussed that chlorinator. He used God's name about 40 times cussing that chlorinator. And I'm a brand new Christian. And man, it was like stabbing me. And so I went on and I said, well, I'm going to go work on it. And he followed me over there. And I went and I'm working on the chlorinator. And I'm down working on the chlorinator. And he's looking right over my shoulder. And he's cussing that chlorinator. He's taking God's name in vain. I couldn't even tell you my name, much less work on a chlorinator. And all of a sudden, I couldn't take it no more. I got some courage. And I said, where do you go to church? Honestly, Brother Radley, he said, church. He said, man, I don't go to church. I said, I didn't think you went to church. I said, but I can tell you something better than church. He said, what is that? I said, I can tell you how you can go to heaven when you die. He said, what? I said, I can tell you how when you die you can go to heaven knowing. He said, really? And I know you don't do this on government. I'm not recommending you do this. I was out there. We was by ourselves. Amen. It was cold. We got in the truck. Amen. I fixed the chlorinator. I got in the truck. He got in the truck with me. He said, tell me more about that knowing how to go to him. I said, well, I have a New Testament in my truck. I said, the Bible says, and I took him down that Romans road, showing him he was a sinner, how you could be saved. And that big old grown man with them tattoos all over it. And you mean I can ask God to save me and he'll save me? I said, yeah. He said, when can I do that? I said, you can do it now if you want to. He said, in this truck? I said, yeah, it's God's truck. Amen. Belonged to the government, but it was God's that day. That big old burly man bowed his head, called on God to save him, right there in that government truck. Amen. What? Hey, all because God will give you courage when you're involved in a cause. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, church, I'm preaching to me tonight. We're missing it. We need to get involved, get anointed, get filled. That's a cause. Amen. I'm about through. A cause will bring criticism. He had to fight his family in chapter verse 28. He had to fight his family before he could ever fight the enemy. Mark this down. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. You might be a young convert. I hate to tell you this. Probably one of your chief opponents will be your family. I've took young people off the camp meetings in 30 years of ministry. I've took young people off the camp meeting, get them fired up, bring them back home. Mom and daddy, put it out. Hello? You know why? It shows up mom and daddy. I'm going to tell you who you have to fight to serve God. A lot of times it's got to be your family. Yeah. Amen. And I'm telling you, my family thought I went crazy. Yeah. Amen. Really, I was crazy and I got my right mind. Yeah. And they got their old mind. Right. Anybody? I ain't never thought of that. So I'm in my right mind. They in the wrong mind. I used to be in the wrong mind. We was all in the wrong mind. I got in the right mind. Now they think I've lost my mind. Truth is, I got a right mind. They ain't, oh, help me, Jesus. Somebody help me, amen. You have to, I'll tell you what, brethren, they checked his motives. They said, you've come down here to be proud. I'll tell you what Saul said. He checked his means. He said, you can't fight with that sling. You got to use this. He judged him by his means. I tell you what Goliath thought. He thought he didn't have a might. Hello, somebody help me. Expect criticism. And I'm telling you, church, let me stop right there. And I promise you I'm just about through. Let me tell you this. This is intensifying. To be an independent fundamental Baptist today, believing that Bible, we're now cults. It's a sad day in America when a Bible preaching church is now known to be a cult. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you in the last 3 months. Now, I mean, before Brother Donald, way before, but in the last 3 months, I bet you I've heard 6 times, y'all a cult.
Yeah.
I've been trying to win a man for 30 years, a man who killed his daddy. He killed his daddy and got shot 6 times. I've been friends with him for 30 years. He's come to hear me preach, and he's always been, I had a good relationship. He's always respected me. I went to see him not too long ago, and this is what he told me. He said, Alfred, when you first come to this town, I had great respect for you. But he said, some things I've been hearing about your church, he said, y'all are a cult. I mark it down. If you stand for God, your church will be called one too. I wish they'd say, y'all help people, y'all help down and outers. I wish they'd say, y'all get people off the streets. I wish they'd say, y'all help people when they're down. But you know what they're saying, Brother Aaron? They're saying, y'all a cult. When you get involved in a cause, there's going to be criticism. May as well expect. That's why a lot of people don't serve God. Young people, that'll stop you from serving God. You may as well get it. I don't want to labor this point no longer. You may as well get adjusted. If you go serve God, you're going to be criticized. Amen. See, if you get involved in something or someone, you can be called a cult or criticized. Amen. Last point. A cause begins crudely. Normally, a cause begins very crudely. What do you mean, preacher? Well, he's going out to fight a man with a 150-pound armor with a slingshot. That's pretty crude. I'd have got me a missile. Here he walks out there with a little slingshot to fight a man that's got a 150-pound armor. That's pretty crude. And we're standing against a world out there that's God cussing. Amen. Hates God, hates Christ, hates the church. And all we got is a little slingshot called a King James Bible. That's the only weapon we got. Amen. But I got news for you. It'll work. Amen. A cause begins crudely. Amen. Amen. I was coming not as anything wrong with the other auditorium. I thought the other auditorium was wonderful. I was coming to this meeting when Brother Billy Cole was pastoring.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Brother Billy Cole made it easy on me. He called me up one time. He said, "Brother Alfred, I want you to come preach for me." And he said, "When you come, I want to tell you what the message is I want you to preach." He said, "I was somewhere and you preached this message. I want you to come and preach that for me." Now, dear God, that makes it easy. Why don't you do that, Pastor? Next year, or whenever, not next year, but if I ever get to come back, just tell me what to preach. Amen. After this message, don't look like I'm coming back here. But I will say this. Look where we are tonight.
Amen.
Now, nothing wrong. I didn't see the days before the other auditorium. The other auditorium was beautiful to me. But I'm telling you, this one far exceeds that one. Is anybody listening? Normally, a cause begins crudely. I can only identify where we started. We started in an old lunchroom. When I went to St. Stephen, wouldn't nobody give us a building, Brother Jeff? They said, "We don't need another church in this town. We've got churches on every corner. Nobody would even rent me a building." And I found me an old school lunchroom closed down that the old high school had. And I'm telling you, it still had the old stove in it. It still had the old school windows in it. And I mean, just, it was in a mess. And this is the honest to God truth. When you'd walk in at night and cut the switch on, I guess all them crumbs they spilled on the floor all them years back in the kitchen. When you'd cut the lights on, it looked like the floor moved. It was roaches. This is the honest, my wife is here. I'd be preaching and them things would come out, look at me while I'm preaching like that. That is the truth. I'd be preaching, "Get right, you need to get right with me." They thought I was preaching, I was killing roaches, man. I ain't trying to make y'all laugh. I'm telling you, it was crude, friend. And right, I had a lady visit one day, she's a Catholic lady. And I was preaching right in the middle of my message. We had them big old windows, school windows up. They weigh about 100 pounds. Right in the middle of my message, I said, "Oh, fire!" She said, "Ah!" She shouted. First young woman shouted, ever shouted in our church. She's lost. We had old broke up chairs. I'm telling you, old broke up chairs. Let's split down the middle. I said, "Let's all stand and sing." A woman stood up and the chair clapped on her dress and was hanging on her dress. I said, "Let's all sit down." Amen. You talk about crude. Is anybody listening? Now, we ain't got nothing like this, but I'm telling you, we got carpet.
Yes,
nice. Hey, man.
Amen.
We got chandeliers. We got padded pews.
Amen.
What? Began crudely. Is anybody listening?
Praise God.
Hey, right in the middle of that, right in the middle of that. Listen, let me tell this. I promise I'm through. Right in the middle of that. Right in the middle of that old building. I mean, I'm telling you, it was awful. And right in the middle of that, the Lord said, "I want you to go visit the doctor's house and invite the doctor to the church." I said, "Do what, Lord?" He said, "They live around the corner. Go ask the doctor to come to your church." I said, "Lord, wait a minute now. Lord, you seen the bill. I ain't asked no doctor to come in yet." He said, "Go invite the doctor."
Amen.
Name is Dr. Schillinglaw. He said, I said, "Lord, I'm telling you now." He said, "Go invite the doctor." Dr. McAbee, I went around there. I knocked on the door. And the doctor's wife come, Mrs. Doctor come to the door. She said, "How you doing?" I said, "Ma'am, I'm Pastor Willis. I pastor a church right around the block there." She said, "I know who you are." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Come on in." And I went in, and I'm telling them, this ain't big time for y'all, Brother Robert. Back in them days, they had four bathrooms.
Come on.
I think they had six bedrooms, four bathrooms. I grew up with no bathrooms. Literally. Our bathroom used to be out behind the house. Well, we did have a little one about like that in every room. No, honestly, I'm not trying. I heard some of y'all old timers preaching today. I'm telling you, I could look down through the floor and see the chickens. I could go to bed at the night and look up through the tent and see the stars. I mean, my daddy was a drunk. My daddy was the town drunk. I grew up poor. Now I'm at the doctor's house. What? Good dude, Ram. And I'm invited in. They got white furniture and a baby grand piano. And I'm sitting in the library. And she walks over to the shelf. And she said, Pastor Willis, I've heard about you. She said, I'm in the Presbyterian church. And we are so dry over there. I have to get books to read to feed my soul. And she said, have you ever heard of this man, D.L. Moody? I said, yes, ma'am, I've heard of D.L. Moody. She said, how about this man? She grabbed another book. R.A. Torrey. Have you heard? I said, yes, ma'am, I know about R.A. If it wasn't for that man, I wouldn't be in the ministry. And she said, the reason I've got these books, she said, it's so dead in the church I'm going to, the Presbyterian church, that we have to feed our own soul. She said, but we're going to come to your church. She said, the lady across the street, my dear friend, she's sick of it too. We're both coming to your church. Next Sunday, here they come walking up, walked into church, and they came back, and they came back, and they came back, and they came back, and they joined. Amen. Hello. Amen. One of them's in heaven, one of them's still living.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, it was a crude place. It was a crude place they come to. But out of that, she had 9 children. I led about 4 or 5 or 6 of them to the Lord.
Amen.
And one of them's in our church and married a girl. He met in our church and they got 5 children. And he's my treasurer. And the children sing and play. I'm glad I made that visit.
Amen.
Hey, it begins crudely. Why? Because when it's all said and done, God gets the glory.
Amen.
Anybody listen? Amen. I say this, and if you take this wrong, I've lost you. Just recently, God started a men's home in our church to rescue men. And we wanted to have a farm atmosphere. And so we went uptown, and we bought 27 acres of land right almost in the middle of St. Stephen. That town, they wouldn't let me have a building. I hope they need some land. 30 years ago, they wouldn't let me have a building. 30 years later, we got 27 acres in the middle of town. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? It began crudely. And I say that to say this. To God be the glory. When David walked off the hill that day, he wasn't singing. He wasn't singing. The battle not mine, said little David. Somebody know that song?
Come on.
I wish I knew it. David walked off the hill that day and said, that wasn't my battle, that was God's battle. Hey, I'm telling you, when the dust clears, we'll give God the glory. Amen. Amen and amen. Are you involved in a cause? I'll tell you what I found out. This is what I found out. And please listen to this. It ain't lands, it ain't building. It's about people. It ain't about lands and building money. It's about people. And here's what I read. I read, according to aerodynamics, a bumblebee can't fly. Aerodynamics said, according to the way he's built, a bumblebee ain't supposed to be able to fly. But I tell you what I thought about. He can't read either.
Amen.
So he don't know he can't fly. You know why he flies? Because he don't know he can't fly. You know why? He's consumed. He's consumed. He's involved in a cause.
Right.
Amen. You get involved in a cause, you'll do things you didn't think you could do. Hello. Is anybody listening? I feel like I lost you. I'm simply trying to say to us tonight, that's what happened to David. He got consumed. He got involved in a cause. Amen. I'm saying to tonight, the church of the living God, we ought to get involved in the greatest cause in all the world. Get sold out. Get dedicated. Get filled. Amen. Get consumed with a compassion to do something for the glory of God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, God couldn't use me. Oh yeah, he used Abraham and he was too old. He used Isaac, he was a daydreamer. He used Jacob, he was a liar. He used Leah, and she was ugly. He used Moses and Sheba. He was a basket case. He used Samson. He had long hair. He used Rahab. She's a prostitute. He used David. He had an affair. He used a woman at the well. She had five husbands. Hey, he used John the Baptist and he eat bugs. He used Zacchaeus and he's too short. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Hey, he used Timothy. He had ulcers. He used Paul. He was too religious. He used Lazarus. He was dead. If God can use them, he can use you. Are you listening, church? I'll tell you what God put on my heart before I left the motel. God spoke in my heart. That's what he said. He said, somebody might be here tonight. God wants to use you to preach. You know how you get involved in this cause? First of all, you find a pardon. You got to get a pardon. Might be somebody here lost tonight. Here's how you get involved in this great cause. Come to an old-fashioned altar and get pardon of your sins. Then God may want to use you to preach. I don't know why. You can't muster this up. I'm not trying to muster it up. But when I got in my car tonight and prayed for I come, here's what God said. God said that message could help somebody to just announce tonight, God's called me to preach. We don't see many meetings like that no more, Brother McAbee. Why don't you get involved in the cause? Come down here and say, God's called. There was a night, Brother Rackley. There was a night I walked down the aisle. I was about as scared that night as the one night I got saved. And I said, preacher, I don't understand all this, but I know God's called me to preach. Maybe God's calling you to preach tonight. Maybe God's showing you tonight you can overcome your problem. David overcame a giant problem. Get involved, you can overcome your problem. Let's stand. Let's pray. Let's stand. Father, take this simple message and use it tonight to the glory of God. Thank you for letting us be here. I'm so honored. I'm so honored. I'm so humbled that God, you would let me stand in this pulpit after these great men of God, singers and preachers, have stood today. Do something real and lasting and eternal in this service tonight. God, you've already done that today. I pray you'd add to it even tonight now. Help the pastor as he leads and as we sing, may people sell out, get involved in the cause like never before. God, we need that in our churches. In Christ's name, heads are bowed and the pastor's coming. Amen.